Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the third movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man 2, directed by our old friend Jon Favreau.
Yeah, we are.
So, Drew, this is on your list since it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sure.
First time this time. Bring us in.
I saw this movie in the theater, of course, because I love the first one so much. And seeing it in the theater, it was fine. It wasn't quite underwhelming. But it certainly didn't leave me feeling like as triumphantly happy as the first one. However, this movie gets better every time I watch it. And that's mostly because the more times I watch it, the better appreciation I have for Mickey Rourke. Is hilarious.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke is something special.
He is definitely in his own movie.
He may be what saves this movie.
I think he's the most compelling part of it for sure.
Oh yeah. No. And I have opinions, but we'll certainly get there. Now, someone who's never short of opinions, brother Jay.
Yeah.
First time this time.
Tonight was the first time. Today was the first time. Excellent. 4 hours ago was the first time.
Did you watch it with Jesse by chance?
No, he was at work. Well. And this would be the one and only time I watched this piece of shit.
Excellent. So you're saying it's 2 hours and 4 minutes not well spent?
I want to say Agent Coulson was the best part of this entire movie.
Yeah, he was good. He didn't get much to do, but
yeah. I could have watched that, and I would have enjoyed the movie.
You'll be seeing more of him later.
Oh no, I know. I like him very much.
You didn't like Sam Rockwell's performance?
No.
I hated Sam Rockwell's performance.
You're supposed to hate Sam Rockwell.
But I know he was doing a thing, but it's kind of like when Gary Oldman does a thing. Either he pulls it off or it just is grating. And to me, this was a grating thing. Like, I didn't.
Puffy Gary Shandling.
Yeah. Well, you know, poor Gary.
Yeah.
Didn't have long.
No.
Shall we dive right in?
Oh, yes, please.
You didn't tell us your first time last time.
First time last night. And I thought Robert Downey Jr. and Mickey Rourke and let's see, Kate Mara and Clark Gregg and Scarlett Johansson were fine. Were good. In some cases, bordering on really fun. And I think Gwyneth Paltrow is kind of a dead fish. And I really was disappointed with both Sam Rockwell, who I usually love, and with Don Cheadle, who was given nothing to work with.
So you had Scarlett Johansson being as deadpan as she possibly could be. And you're calling Gwyneth Paltrow a dead fish.
Nope, except if Gwyneth Paltrow had a fight scene with much too long curly hair at the end of the movie, I would have changed my opinion.
Yeah, that was a weird wig.
It was, because it did not seem to match her hair. It was the rest of the movie.
No. Yeah. Almost makes you think that maybe that was added in like a reshoot.
Yeah, I wonder. But it was impressive.
Yeah, because it needed more tights, tight clothed women. Because this movie's all about, you know.
Arguably, though, it's entering the first interesting woman into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because Pepper Potts is not that person. Like, the Black Widow or whatever is a character in her own right.
How dare you besmirch whatever Liv Tyler's character's name was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry, you mean Alicia Silverstone's friend?
That's right.
If I can only pixelate my middle finger here, it'll be great. It smells like childhood.
What? The chick from the animal cracker scene in Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. So, in Russia. Go ahead, Jason. I know you want to do it.
I don't even know where to begin.
No, like, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to give me a Yakov Smirnoff joke.
That would be better than this movie.
Like, in Russia, man irons you. Ha ha ha.
See, I didn't even have that in mind. I was so horrified.
You have my money?
Oh my God, yes. Before you came on, Jay, I'm like, the only thing, Drew's background is Mickey Rourke from The Fighter. And I was saying, oh, the only thing to make that better is if Jason's background was John Malkovich from Rounders.
The wrestler.
I'm sorry, when I say The Fighter? A different movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I just thought that Mickey Rourke's Russian Brooklyn accent was really interesting.
Mickey Rourke was doing a thing too. Mickey Rourke is one of those guys that's compelling to watch too.
No,
I think so.
I think Mickey Rourke hated being in this movie.
I think so too. But that's okay, because I hated him being in this movie. So we're even.
His contempt was channeled into just such a bonkers performance.
Oh, he was chewing all the scenery, though. I mean, not in the way that Sam Rockwell was trying to climb the walls and chew the ceiling.
I knew what I was in for in this two-hour crap fest at the beginning of this movie when Mickey Rourke had that god-awful, terrible, just little, like, death scream. It was the worst thing ever.
When Papa died?
Yes. It was, first of all, it was unbecoming. Second of all, me and my girly tinny voice could have screamed better than that.
We all grieve in different ways.
Brother Jay throws down on grief criticism.
It's been a long week.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what you did when your dad died? Yeah, 3.6.
You know what? You know what? I haven't had enough grief in the last 12 months, so I can speak a little bit to that.
Sure, yeah. You know, kids these days don't know what the East German judge even means. So anyway, in Russia.
Jesus.
I'm not going to do it. The media covers Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.'s disclosure of his identity as Iron Man. We meet Ivan Vanko, Mickey Rourke, whose father Anton Vanko has just died.
Vanya!
Yes, and so... Ivan begins to build a miniature arc reactor similar to Tony Stark's because Howard Stark and Anton Vanko developed the arc reactor together back in the 70s or whatever, 60s. And 6 months later, we see the Tony Stark character as unlikable as he should be, I think. Mm-hmm. As super charming and arrogant and smart and flashy and just... The thing I liked about Tony Stark in this movie is because compared to all of the real life people that do cameos, he actually could accomplish everything. Everybody else in real life, like Elon Musk and even like what Larry Elder or whatever, they're all kind of just in hammers.
Yes.
You know, because Tony Stark is slick and funny and, you know, arrogant and brilliant. And Justin Hammer, Sam Rockwell, he is sort of the anti-Stark. He's trying to do the same thing. He tries to be charming, but he's not. His products are, he claims to be good, but they're not. He's almost like a comic book stereotype of what a sniveling villain would be.
Yeah, there's a couple villains in this movie, and he is certainly the lightweight comic relief villain.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Even though Mickey Rourke is the big bad guy, he's actually, his story is actually sympathetic in some ways. I mean, he's just a guy bent on revenge because of wrongs done to his family. He's Batman.
I want to hear the movie that Mickey Rourke thought that they were going to make.
Bring me my beard. Yeah, I can't do accents. I don't know why I try. It's not my beard. Yeah, okay, so we see this whole big flashy thing where Tony Stark is like, goes before Congress, where we have the typical pompous Senator Gary Shandling, Senator Stern, who's grilling him and wanting the Iron Man weapon to be turned over to the U.S. government. And Tony Stark is like, nah, negatory, dude. It's mine. You can't take me. And it becomes a everybody's playing for the cameras. And then Sam Rockwell's character tries to defeat him in rhetoric and ends up getting schooled in electronics and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, over the top, fun. I liked it.
The only way it could have been better is if Tony had Happy like collect Justin Hammer's long lost older brother from Sicily just to stage him in the audience.
Yes, exactly. 100%. That's a Godfather thing. So later, we learn that Tony is being poisoned by the arc reactor that's keeping him alive. Some sort of palladium poisoning. And he can't find a substitute, so he's going to die.
It gives him cool circuitry lines on his skin, though.
It does, yeah.
Yep. Even in death, he's going to look badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even, actually, the reactor still looks super sexy as it's killing him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he's sort of seems to be like super narcissistic and, you know, comes off as, yeah, Iron Man's given us the biggest period of peace ever. So, you know, sorry, I am Iron Man. I'm keeping the peace, you know. Yeah, nobody else can compete with me. And that was the argument the senators were making, is that other people were trying to develop this technology. And Stark was like, no, I'm the only one who can develop it. Everybody's at least 20 years away. Even Justin Hammer. Which actually sets up the whole rest of the movie.
I really would have liked Army Hammer instead.
Yeah. It would have been a different kind of movie.
Yeah. Jason, you weren't even amused when Justin Hammer's suit like twisted a soldier completely in half?
Well, that brief moment was entertaining, but did it make up for the whole journey of getting to that point?
We're only like 3 minutes in at that point.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so Tony's dying and he can't figure out how to solve it, and he hasn't told anybody.
And of course, he's being his typical arrogant, dickish, self-centered asshole about it.
Oh, yeah. 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 He's not the hero you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just the hero that they have.
Yeah. It turns out I don't want him at all.
Yeah. So, anyway, and we have his assistant, Virginia Pepper Potts. Tony makes her the CEO. Because he's being reckless with the company and she's criticizing him. He's like, well, fine, you be the CEO. I plan to be this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's more, not just flippant. Anyway, so he makes her CEO and then they hire a personal assistant for him, which ends up being Natalie Rushman, played by Scarlett Johansson. And at first it's this whole, sort of a love triangle situation between Pepper Potts and Natalie Rushman and Robert Downey Jr. kind of. Or that's what it's set up to be.
Yeah. But based on Ebert's law of the conservation of characters, you know Scarlett Johansson is not just an assistant.
Of course. Yes. I didn't know that was Ebert's law. I love it.
Yep.
So then we go to Monaco. And we have this Grand Prix with Formula One cars, which is kind of fun. And that's our first big series of cameos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you like all that?
I had not remembered any of those because they are so inconsequential.
Some would say many of them are still inconsequential.
I don't know. Oh, these are, you know, again, you're appealing to a certain audience. Yeah, so during this Formula One race, and of course, Tony Stark's being reckless because he's dying, and but nobody else knows that. They think he's just being reckless because he's an asshole.
Well, they're not mutually exclusive.
No, true. And then we have two things that happen, which I find super amusing. One, that that listener, and maybe Iron Man in his own right, Chris Achilles from Greasers Automotive in Tempe, Arizona, pointed out that that little briefcase that was the Iron Man suit seemed to be pretty lightweight for Pepper Potts just to carry around and throw around in the back seat.
And fair point.
Whatever kind of nanotechnology, it seems like it still would be a lot more heavy than it apparently was. And the second thing was, the electric whips is just funny and dumb. I mean, it just makes no sense. You know, kind of this movie is based a little bit on things that could make sense. Like the Iron Man, they did a good job in the first movie explaining how the Iron Man suit kind of works. Mm-hmm. There's a little magic thrown in, but it's theoretically on a foundation of what could really happen.
It's one of the reasons I do appreciate this movie is it's probably the last time that the Iron Man suit is so, I'm using finger quotes here, but so grounded and tactile.
Ah, okay.
Because in future movies, it does progress into like some sort of nanotechnology where the suit can be stored like in his glasses.
Ah, yeah, that's
so ridiculous. I do appreciate that they had to throw out the briefcase for him, and that he's not in possession of the suit the whole time.
Yeah, and. Truly, the briefcase was fun, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Ivan's whole mission isn't to destroy Iron Man. It's just to prove that he's, you know, fallible or not invincible.
Yeah, you have such a lightweight movie where so far Justin Hammer has crippled a soldier with a bad piece of technology. And Gary Shandling has shouted bleeped out profanity at Tony Stark, and then you get just off his rocker Mickey Rourke in just a completely different movie talking about how if you could make God bleed, people would cease to believe in him.
Yes. Yes.
What are you talking about?
My bird.
Exactly.
So funny. And the first time I saw this movie, it was his choices and his performance were so like out of touch and incongruous with the rest of the movie that it really took me out of it. But I've seen this movie probably 5 or 6 times now. And every time, I love it more and more. He is so out of his mind.
Well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, he's not bombastic and quippy like Tony Stark, but mm-hmm. Mickey Rourke just sitting there sweating. He exudes kind of a malevolent strength.
His whole vibe is like, I want to wear a one piece of clothing that I can throw off my top and just let it hang from my waist.
Also, toothpick. Every scene, toothpick. Mm-hmm. Hey, I hope it was fun.
This makes me want to go back and watch Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
I've never seen that movie.
I've seen it once.
Okay. So then we get the most absurd part of the movie.
Well, no.
Sort of. we get a drunk suicidal Tony Stark at his own birthday party wearing the Iron Man suit, doing party tricks.
Yeah, so Tony Stark's alcoholism was like a storyline in the comic books for several years. I mean, to the point where he had to give up being Iron Man for a while.
Now, did Rhodey become Iron Man while Tony was away in rehab?
He was, yeah. He was Iron Man way before he was ever War Machine.
Ah. Okay, I don't shed any tears for Terrence Howard. But Don Cheadle was just wasted in this role. Did they tell him to act completely emotionless and not fun? Except maybe toward the end, he got to be a little bit... I mean, was he supposed to be so contained as a military man that he never showed any emotion?
Well, they certainly didn't give any thought to his character.
Yeah, he didn't have any writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was given nothing to work with. I don't like it.
So
it was just, his entire deal was just to be exasperated.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, again, he's a great actor. He pulls it off, but he just didn't give me anything I wanted to watch. And then the whole thing when he gets the other armor suit and then they fight to end the party. And then he takes off and steals the suit. It's all...
Made no sense.
No, made no sense at all. It furthered the plot. That's fine. It just kept the movie rolling. But it's like, what? And then we have Nick Fury. And I have to remind myself, this is all the beginning of this whole... This is all still laying groundwork for what's coming. And probably by this time, they knew they could get away with a couple more of these movies, right?
Yeah, I think they already had Thor and Captain America in production and were planning the Avengers.
Yeah, yeah. And depending on how the Avengers went, would just defines the rest of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Potion. Jason, by the way, do you know who directs Iron Man 3?
No.
Shane Black.
So it's set at Christmas?
It is.
Is that the next movie that we're watching?
No.
No, that's four movies away.
Yeah. Oh. No, the next movie is Thor, right?
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that will be a pleasant change.
Well, I don't want to tip my hand, but let's just say I don't think the Thor movies are the best of the movies.
The third one is one of the best.
Actually, yes, I've heard good things about that. But yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. And again, I haven't seen that one. So maybe after seeing that one, I will appreciate the groundwork laid in Thor and Thor 2. But I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So we meet Nick Fury again, Sam Jackson. Or actually, we meet him for the first real time, right? The first time we met him was just in the before credits, after credit scene in Iron Man, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he was in the Hulk.
He was not.
Yeah. So this is where Sam Jackson gets to be Sam Jackson, but in a really fun, cool way, not an over the top Sam Jackson.
He was kind of attuned. He was kind of a mellow Sam Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, the professional.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was actually kind of nice to see.
Exactly. Yeah. He is director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he reveals that Natalie Rushman is really Natasha Romanoff, agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that Howard Stark, Tony's dad, who, by the way, this movie is also about dad issues. Howard Stark was a S.H.I.E.L.D. founder who Nick Fury knew personally. Now, who plays Howard in the movies? The guy from Scrubs or something?
In this movie?
Yeah.
The dude from Mad Men.
Oh, John Hamm?
No. The other one.
I've never seen Mad Men.
John Slattery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine.
In other movies, younger Howard Stark is played by Dominic Cooper.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, this is where, because Tony doesn't realize that there was an Anton Vanko or whatever. And so we have this whole story because we find out, we think that Anton Vanko, you know, somehow he was betrayed by Howard Stark. Well, then here it sees that, yeah, as it turns out, yeah. Although what, he tried to sell the arc reactor technology that was supposed to be a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So to punish him for that, Howard Stark got him deported and eventually thrown into Siberia.
Yes, he defected. Vanko defected. And then Howard Stark had him deported back to the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Basically a death sentence. But Howard Stark's supposed to be kind of a good guy. Sort of.
Well, I don't think so.
No?
I think there's a reason Tony's a dick.
That's true. That's true. Well, we try to soften Howard's image in this movie a little bit later. There's always that third act videotape reveal that gets you in the heartstrings. So Nick Fury suggests that he knows that Tony Stark is dying of palladium poisoning. By the way, also Rhodey knows it.
Everybody knows it.
It's a horrible secret.
Not a
yeah,
secret.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for Pepper, who is upset about Art.
Yeah.
And the day-to-day, you know, running a, you know, multi-billion dollar corporation, I'm sure. So, Nick Fury says, hey, you actually can, you know, there is a way to save yourself, cure yourself. You know what the way is. Well, what does that mean? Well, you'll find out. Here's your mission. Fix yourself. This is a great pep talk, but also has no consequences for Nick Fury if it doesn't go well.
It's true.
Again, it makes him a good leader. Like, you can do it, bro. Just put your mind to it. Yeah, it might work. Can't hurt. It's a crowd pleaser.
It's essentially the I could give you a fish, or I could teach you how to fish.
Only to find out that he had no fish to give.
Nope.
Because he'd never actually seen a fish. Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. Oh, and I didn't even talk about the one-year-long Stark Expo that was supposed to be some sort of great exposition over a year that all the inventors in the world would come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of never really led to anything. I guess I don't know.
It led to the final action set piece.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and it led to the cure, because hidden in the blueprint for the fairgrounds of the expo is the a brand new element that Tony can synthesize by using particle accelerators and something.
Prisms.
Yeah.
It was really corny that he named this new element Iron Manium. You guys did not pay attention to this movie at all.
Did they really name it Iron Manium?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. What was it named?
I don't think
they never named it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, at least they didn't do that shit job in Avatar where they called it unobtainium.
Marvel has plenty of that stuff in its history.
Yes. Avatar. That's a bad movie.
Yes.
So blah, blah, blah. Tony's got a brand new heart. Papa's got a brand new bag. And we thought that Vanko was dead, but he's not dead.
I have a question. Yeah, at this point, the computer,
Jarvis?
Jarvis. Mm-hmm. So Jarvis is a computer, and Jarvis is answering him, and Jarvis is a computer voice. Why would Jarvis need to be yelling?
Artificial intelligence.
You really think he'd yell or just turn his volume up?
He is changing the way he communicates to elicit a desired reaction.
I see.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Very good. And by the way, so Hammer has then broke Vanko out of prison, faking Vanko's death, and secret him Sorry.
Secreting him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not going to ever happen. It's not even in my notes. It's just I picked a word that's never going to work. So he whisks him off. Whisks him off to his secret laboratory where he wants to build all these suits that he's going to sell the government. But Vanko is like, no, we don't need suits. We need drones.
Bad.
Drones better.
Drones are better, yes. So we have this whole thing where at the expo, Hammer is going to beat Tony Stark at his own game. Crap right on his whole legacy at his own event. By unveiling all these new tech, even better than the Iron Man tech.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, he is contracted by the military to kind of reverse engineer the suit that Rhodey stole and equip it. Just basically add a bunch of guns to it.
Yeah. To make it into War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
At the expo, we have Hammer unveiling the armored drones. And then Rhodes is wearing the War Machine suit in protest or something. It's all very complicated, Rhodey's motives or things at this moment.
He's just following orders.
Yeah, he never has agency at all in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Vanko takes control because both Tony Stark and Vanko, that's the one thing that this movie does well. And by well, I mean, that's the magic they use is that both Stark and Vanko are both like a brilliant computer programmer. So they can take any old keyboard and any old screen and suddenly control the world with it. So that's what happens. So Vanko takes control of all the drones and goes after Iron Man and takes control of Rhodey. So he's basically Rhodey is trapped in a suit that's going to kill Tony Stark. And then we have the big old action set piece, which is fine. Fun.
And we have Black Widow trying to go stop Vanko.
Yes, that's where Scarlett Johansson, who has just been sort of eye candy so far, gets to do all of the stunts and have fun and become the Black Widow. And by the way, Kate Mara was fine, even though she was just there also as like window dressing a little bit.
Like a minute.
Yeah. And Jon Favreau throwed himself as happy in there for comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of not really... I mean, it's fine. I'm sure, you know, if you're in the theater eating popcorn, watching it, I'm sure it's fun. Realizing this is a 2-hour and 4-minute movie, you're thinking, well, you can take some of the happy scenes away from this. And most of Gwyneth Paltrow, but oh.
I was going to say, you wouldn't have as much Gwyneth Paltrow screaming.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
You think?
Like, I think she's an okay performer, but just something about her. She has such a charisma deficit. Like, she cannot win.
That's it. That's what it is. You're right.
Yeah, because you see Scarlett Johansson. She does nothing. She flatlines for the whole movie, even though she's given stuff to do. But still, you're pretty cool with her performance afterwards. And then you got Gwyneth Paltrow, who's given some stuff to do. Not great stuff, but some stuff. She's given agency. And you just end up hating her.
Yeah.
And she's right. Like, when she's upset, she's justified in being upset. When she's trying to do a good job, she's doing a good job. She should be very admirable. But yeah. She's just... Ugh.
I don't know. You see her being in love with Tony as being like sort of pathetic instead of being her only weakness.
But I don't even buy the chemistry. Like, it's not even, it's just,
yeah, it needs more moonlighting. That's what it needs.
Yeah. I mean, their dynamic is she's like an exasperated mother.
Yeah.
Well, he's a man child, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a two-way street, but yeah, it's
And okay, so in future movies, I assume they're going to lean on that more heavily, and she's going to be more fleshed out.
Yeah, but it doesn't help.
Okay, well, because she has been good in other stuff.
Royal Tenenbaums.
She's not bad. She's good. But even we'll talk about it when we get there in 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is you're actually right about Scarlett Johansson. I think Scarlett Johansson has been charming in other things. And I think that's why.
Are you sure?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, think about it. What?
Okay.
What makes her charming?
I've seen interviews where she's really funny, but mm-hmm. perhaps those are manufactured to make her appear really funny.
Or to sell jade vagina eggs.
No, wrong one. No, remember, she's actually an anti-Palestinian bubbly water salesman.
Who was selling the jade eggs then?
And that's Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop. Mm-hmm. And vagina-scented candles.
What?
Yes. Can't make it up, won't make it up.
But I don't.
You got it. You know what? And if you wanna be a modern woman, you gotta take firm grasp of your yoni.
I have an unrelated link that I'm sending you. You may not have heard the original song, but the metal cover version is priceless. Has nothing to do with this movie, but
okay.
Except that the Jade.
I love Leo.
The jade egg thing made me think of this. So
his version of Sultans of Swing with Mary Spender, I think is her name.
So do you know what the original song is?
WAP?
Yeah.
I'm familiar. Yes. I've never actually heard it, but I've heard pieces of it. And I know
what does WAP stand for?
Wet ass pussy.
Hmm.
It's a female empowerment song.
Who would have thought?
The video, you have to watch it. Okay. It is amazing. It really
is. He's a really funny guy.
No, it's genius. It really is genius. And I've listened to maybe 10 seconds of the original song because I can't turn it off fast enough. Whenever it ends up somewhere, I can hear it. And I have listened to this all the way through and thought, I can respect this.
Does he do the dance?
The WAP dance? We'll find out. Tune in to Leo Maraccioli, who I think is like Norwegian, maybe?
I don't know.
But Frog Leap Studios, he does, one of the things he does is covers of popular songs in the heavy metal style, and he usually does all the instruments himself, and the videos are really fun because it shows him playing all the instruments and being kind of goofy.
Yeah. This one's
have you not seen any of this, Drew?
I have.
Okay, yeah.
I hadn't.
So the way this whole Skype background image is going for me, I'm looking at Drew, and he looks a little bit like Rasputin. Or maybe a Jedi who has just been slashed in half by a lightsaber but hasn't quite crossed over yet.
What you're seeing is the Lawrence.
The Lawrence, yes, exactly. It's hot in Drew Land. Hot, hot, hot.
Wow.
It's a fucking fever dream. I don't know.
Okay.
I told you I looked through a whole box of of classic Trivial Pursuit cards looking for Lawrence.
Was that a productive use of your time?
No. It was quixotic. I have yet to give up. I will find it. Okay, so, and when I do, I'll be like, ha!
You know, we yada yada'd a cool piece of CGI where when Tony was trying to figure out the whole element thing and he digitized the map of the
Expo ground?
The model neighborhood that he took from his office that Howard Stark had built. He digitized it, and then he was doing like the Minority Report hand gestures to look at. I thought that was actually really cool looking and really effective, and it comes back in later movies.
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought it was fine. Looked great.
Yeah, and you know, going back to it, I really appreciated how good that looked.
Yeah. Other parts of CGI in this movie were not so much, though.
Well, there's that, yeah. And, you know, when it turned in at the end where you have a
fight. You mean like Black Widow's wig?
I thought that was going to be another fighting tool she had. Like, maybe the extra long curly hair was going to, like, trip somebody or something. Because it really did seem like a whole different hair.
Or it's like a boomerang wig.
Yeah. Yeah, so blah, blah, blah. Tony and Rhodey face off against Vanko and the drones. Let's see. How does Hammer die?
He doesn't die.
Okay. Yeah. But so we got this big old fight, and Vanko ends up committing suicide, which also nearly kills Pepper. And by the way, again, I'm not nitpicking anything, but do you think Iron Man whisking Pepper up at the last minute and rocketing her out of that area would have actually turned her brain into jello from the G-forces?
I really want to know how he could keep a grip of her when he was accelerating like that.
I'm just wondering why her neck didn't snap. And again, all of her brain is at the back of her skull.
Superhero physics.
Yeah, it's fine.
Have you seen Brightburn?
No. I've heard of it, but I've not seen it. Do they discuss such things?
Well, they show what might happen if maybe somebody with the powers of Superman wanted to cause harm.
Oh, okay. At the end of the movie, we have Stark and Rhodes defeating Vanko and the drones, and Vanko commits suicide by blowing up his suit and all the rest of the drones. And at a later debriefing, Fury tells Stark that because of his personality, they'd love to have Iron Man as part of this Avengers initiative, but really they just need him as a consultant because we don't want all his baggage.
This is a plot thread that is promptly dropped as soon as it's set.
Okay. Yeah, so Tony and Rhodey receive their medals for heroism, which are bestowed upon them by the smarmy senator, much against his will, but happy to be smiling into the camera. I'm always thinking of the father in Manchurian Candidate. That character from the original movie is so relevant in 2020. And in looking at political stereotypes.
Whenever I see Gary Shandling, I cannot think of anything except the episode of Gary Shandling Show where he parodied The Natural.
With ping pong, is that right?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
His paddle that said paddle.
Yes. Yeah.
I was so young when I saw that. I'd never seen The Natural, and I had no idea what he was doing. But it was just so funny. And like when he hits the ping pong ball so hard that it shatters a light, and it was so dramatic. I didn't know why they were doing it, but I just remember it being so funny.
Oh, that
an indelible moment from my childhood. Sort of like Earl Grey hot.
Well, we Gary Shandling was one of those like quietly comic geniuses, but he had one flaw, and that's he gave us Judd Apatow. It was also really talented, but also kind of like, you were good friends with Gary Shandling and recorded all this stuff with people and everything, but I'm tired of hearing about it. Haters be hating, right? And then we have the post-credit scene, which is maybe, I really did not live up to any kind. I hadn't seen this movie before, so I wasn't sure what the post-credit scene was going to be. I thought it was going to be something fun.
I'm impressed that you made it.
I remembered. And man, you got to watch a lot of credits to get to the post-credit scene.
You do.
No, you don't. Did you watch this movie on Disney Plus?
I did not. I don't have Disney Plus.
So. Much like Netflix has the skip intro button, Disney Plus has a skip credits button, and it'll shoot right to the post-credit scene.
Really?
I watched it on Disney Plus. I didn't do that, though. I sat through all the credits. I was good.
So, yeah. So the post-credit scene sets up the Thor movie.
And if you skip to the end, you miss the nice jingle that they make for the expo from the 50s.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there's there's lots of little fun stuff in there.
Yeah, there's some Easter eggs in there. So, yeah.
But so, okay.
Well, let me frame this up. This
okay.
I cannot describe to you how excited I was in the movie theater, sitting through all of the credits to see what they would have at the end, and then landing on Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
This is not a bit. I was excited and completely jazzed. I loved Thor, the Mighty Thor, the comic book. The Walter Simonson run on Thor is probably my favorite set of comics ever. I love the art. I love the stories. So I was super excited that that's what they ended with.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll talk about it in our next Avengers episode, Marvel Cinematic Universe episode. But
that was probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, the hammer looks good. They did a really good job framing it and stuff. And yeah, it's exactly like that fan bait, right? The fan service.
Yep.
It's kind of like the poster that shows little Anakin Skywalker with Darth Vader's shadow in the background.
Yep.
It's great. Whets your appetite. And yet, you know, like looking at it now, I'm like,
my appetite was super wet.
Oh, you got a wet ass appetite. But yeah, to me, it's like, well, okay, yeah, sure, but nothing really happened. But yeah, I guess nothing had to happen, right? if it had your goal, I mean, if it whetted your appetite, then it has succeeded in what it was trying to do.
And
plus, you know, we hadn't really talked about it before, but Thor especially, they had tried. Like, Thor appeared in other things back when, like, Captain America had a motorcycle, that kind of stuff. And it was real rough.
And Bill Bixby was on trial for being the Incredible Hulk?
Yes, yes. And again, real rough. So seeing like...
What was that actor's name? He was bad.
Who played...
Thor.
Thor?
Eric somebody. He had three names. He was bad.
Not like John Eric Hexum or anything, right?
Stand by. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. So, are you looking forward to Thor, Jason?
More so, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
And so, it turns out, have you seen it at all, or do you know anything about it?
Nope. I have seen none of the rest of these movies except for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't want to ruin anything for you, or spoil anything for you. But it turns out the cast of Thor is great, and some of the actors and acting in Thor is pretty fun.
Okay.
But then there's Natalie Portman. And I really like Natalie Portman. I think she's super talented.
My favorite Natalie Portman is that Saturday Night Live skit where she's rapping.
Yes. Yes. And second would be for Vendetta.
Yes.
I don't think it's spoiling anything, but she acts like she's a hostage.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's crazy that Don Cheadle didn't replace her in Thor 2.
They just ditched the character.
You know, I don't want to spoil anything like 3 years out, but you know, I thought that this whole thing was a romance between two characters that, you know, it's sort of the odd couple kind of thing.
What, Thor and Jane?
No, Thor and the Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
It's a love story between Thor and the Hulk. I'm just saying. Maybe Thor Ragnarok puts a lie to that, but...
Thor, yeah. We'll talk about it when we get there. Eric Allen Kramer.
Eric Allen Kramer? Are you kidding?
He's got two of my three favorite names.
Oh, man. Eric Allen Kramer was in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes. He was also Thor.
Yeah, poor guy.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him lately? By the way,
negative.
Look at some current pictures of him. He's kind of looking like
Hulk Hogan.
I was going with like James Gandolfini, but
You know, Middle age spread happens, man.
But does it happen with your skull?
We'll find out.
Oh, God.
It's funny. Now I find myself thinking, have I told you this funny little thing that happened to me already on the podcast before? Almost with almost every thought that comes to my mind. It's like, damn it. Now I've told all the stories and I'll never be able, you know, this one time. Yeah. Okay. We've heard that. Well, this other time. No, heard that too. I don't do very much. I can't, you know, it's like, anyway, although the bird flew today, the bird flew, we didn't break the bird.
Oh,
the bird was just
okay. You need to enunciate because when you say bird flu, I'm like, what? Okay,
sorry. H1N1.
What now?
Sorry, my bird, my pet bird, our pet bird, my family's pet bird, who because of the sad passing of the dog, now the bird gets to get out of the cage, but the bird's just been kind of walking around the outside of the cage, like walking on the cage, like crawling up the cage and stuff, but hasn't flown like it had before. And I think it's because when we tried to cut its nails the last time, we ended up having to kind of manhandle it after it flew away from us and hid under furniture. So she was just pissed, but I was afraid maybe we broke her wing. But by the way, we're only guessing it's a her. It's probably a he. Who knows? Cloaca.
So you thought that you had potentially crushed those little hollow bird bones Warren Worthington III in The Fall of the Mutants?
Exactly like that. I was like, damn it, you try to do the right thing, and I know I'm nowhere near perfect, but I never thought it was going to be Warren Worthington III kind of bad. Remember Alpha Flight?
Loved Alpha Flight.
That was me too. That was a thing. Puck. Kind of a, yeah. Anyway, so do we have any more notes on Iron Man 2?
Nope.
Nothing.
Yep. Tired of AC/DC.
Oh, songs. My God. Yes, please.
Don't get me wrong. I there's like a handful of AC/DC songs that are real fun, but, you know, it's kind of like Guns N' Roses as songs in movies. It's like there was a period of time where it's like, yes, woohoo. But I don't know.
No, it needs to stop.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of, well, you know, then we had the whole, all your favorite movies, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, are all full of oldies and fun songs.
Yeah, but they're not all by the same artists of the same worn out old fucking AC/DC songs that I didn't like the first time.
And why didn't they just lean on Black Sabbath's Iron Man, one of the best metal songs or rock songs ever?
Well,
so Brother Jay, your verdict on Iron Man 2? MCU 3, Iron Man 2?
I don't remember what I gave the last one. Maybe a C. This one's maybe a C, but
you gave Iron Man a C?
I don't like this movie. This was crap. I didn't care about any of the characters.
No. The first one, you gave the first one a C?
I don't think I rated it very high. But I could be wrong, but my memory is, you know, of course, maybe this movie has brought my opinion down from the, so I don't know. I'll have to listen. But regardless, this is not better than a C movie. I really didn't care. I wasn't invested in this movie. At no point was I, at no point did I feel any peril, nor did I care about anything that happened. Nothing made me want to find out what was happening with any of the characters at all. And the story was just flat. So, yeah.
Now, historically, Robert Downey Jr. was still, even though Iron Man was a big hit and everything, Robert Downey Jr., it wouldn't have surprised anybody if they had killed him off anyway, because he was still kind of thought of as sort of always a liability.
Well, and I think part of the problem is, too, and I realize that his character is written this way, but I find nothing redeeming about him. So I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe him as a superhero, let alone a hero. And so I don't care. He's not fighting for good. He's fighting for himself.
But he's not the hero that you want. He's the hero that you have.
Yeah, but so what? I'm fine. Like, whatever. He's also creating all the problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, kind of, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Like, just none of this movie. I had a hard time.
Wait for you to watch Avengers 2.
I had a hard time watching this movie because I didn't want to sit through it. There was nothing that made me want to keep sitting through it. It was really difficult.
I had a very similar, not quite as negative, but a very similar reaction the first time I saw it. So my recommendation is that you probably need to watch it two or three more times to really, truly appreciate it. You know,
for Mickey Rourke, I think it's just a great little adventure. I would just fast forward past all the Don Cheadle parts and go to the Paltrow parts, and it'll be great.
Well, I'll take
that. Again, not because they're bad actors, just because it doesn't work for me in this movie.
Perhaps. I mean, maybe. Probably not.
So, Drew, was it worth it?
I think this movie is worth it. It's not great. I can't really defend it against much of what Jason said. But I don't care. I still enjoyed it. And I enjoy it more. I appreciate it more every time I watch it. And 100% it's because of Mickey Rourke. The rest of it is... it's fine. You know, Robert Downey Jr. is good. He doesn't do much that's different from the first movie. I mean, there's no reason that, you know, that there's no real development for his character. There's no reason you need to watch his performance here. But
and yet it's reliable.
Yeah, it's not bad. But yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow, Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle, they're all so flat. I mean, and when so much talent is so wasted, you start to look at the director, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suppose that's just proof of why Jon Favreau hasn't done anything since Iron Man 2. So that was a joke.
Hmm. What was his latest thing? He did Chef. What else did he do?
He did The Lion King, which was a huge hit. And he did The Mandalorian.
Hmm. Okay, so there's that. The guy works.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Sam Rockwell. I mean, he was his whole thing was shtick, but he's good at that kind of shtick, I think. So he was fun, and yeah, Ivan Vanko, come on, he's worth it.
Yeah,
he's worth it. He makes this movie worth it.
Sure.
John Slattery is also always good.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't overuse him.
So are we on to housekeeping?
You didn't really weigh in, Eric.
I think I said my piece. I mean, it was fine. It's that's the thing is it's because we're on this run. I think you definitely have to watch it because it's the continuing story. And although maybe you don't need it. Like I've seen other movies in the series and I hadn't seen this movie and I didn't feel any loss in that. You know, it's fine. I like the characters. I like to see where they're going with it. I like to see, like, what first stage is this still considered for? Yeah, it is. Anything before the Avengers is first stage MCU? Or first phase or first whatever?
Phase one.
Okay. Yeah. Which seems a little highfalutin, but they pulled it off, man.
It's also completely revisionist.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. Again, these are cartoon comic book movies. It's great and fun. I mean, it's movie is still kind of fun. I mean, that's just, you know, I didn't mind watching it for 2 hours and 4 minutes. We have watched movies recently, as recently as watching an hour and a half cartoon last week that you feel horrible after, and you don't feel horrible after watching Iron Man 2.
You know, that's actually some really really good context. This was the first movie I watched after Soul Station.
Yeah.
So that also may really have colored my reaction.
Sure.
Yeah. Cause I just wanted something that was fun that I didn't have to think about. And, that wouldn't, crush my soul.
Yeah. It's sorbet. And you know what's fine? Sometimes kind of fun. Sorbet. It's never going to be like what you're going after, you know, as a goal. Like you're not in it for the sorbet, but sorbet is okay. Can we make a t-shirt out of that? What this program needs is more merch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just put it on a mug.
Well, in a conversation today at work about mugs, a couple of people at work were talking to me about it. Well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about monetizing it on YouTube? I'm like, oh no, the first time we used a song, we would be demonetized instantly. Yeah. So forget it.
If it's not merch worthy, you know what you could do though is you could write it on a whiteboard at work.
The whiteboard disappeared.
Oh, I can imagine that.
Leaving a whiteboard shaped like stain on the wall.
Yeah.
It's really kind of funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking a little bit about monetizing, and so Michael said, hey, what about Patreon? I'm like, well, here's the thing. Patreon will require more work, which is fine, I suppose. I mean, you know, we can put out an extra episode a month or something. I think that's about standard. But all I could see is that it would be like taxing Mom and Connie and Doug. It's like I don't want to do that. Like, there's no way. If we got $5 a month on Patreon, it would be embarrassing because they would be all from people that we would gladly do the show for free. I don't know. But I guess I shouldn't do that. Think about it in those terms. But yeah, this isn't a monetizing
also, kind of show. Also, I think you can give passes for Patreon.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I'd give away all the Patreon passes. Yeah. So we'd just be doing an extra show a month and it'd be fine. And maybe I'm underestimating the fervency of our audience. That's not a real word. The fervor of our audience or the loyalty of our fans or whatever. But yeah, you got better things to spend your money on than recurring Patreon.
Yeah, plus how embarrassing would it be to have to end it?
What do you mean?
Start it up and then like, never mind.
We didn't get enough.
Yeah, exactly.
We needed to clear $12.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or all of us contribute to it to make up the $12. Oh, yeah. That would, dear God. Actually, it's funny. Michael mentioned, he sent me a text the other day saying, hey, your 400th episode is like only like 8 weeks away. Congratulations. And I'm like, thank you. And then I'm like, is my math wrong? Is like 25 weeks. That's a half a year. That's not it's not 8 weeks, right? But he's looking at it not from a episode number thing, but from a available episodes to download thing. I think we're 8 from 400.
Gotcha.
So he's like, you should do something special. I'm like, yeah, we'll maybe. Yeah, sure.
Maybe we could release the 300th
episode. 300, yeah. man. Yeah, there's still something special in mind for that. So, anyway, do we have housekeeping?
I got a new pressure tank I'm pretty excited about.
is this at your city home or your lake home?
My lake house.
Is this the one that was causing you problems?
It was, yeah. So we had, Eric has experienced this. We had, my pressure tank was failing. So it was not keeping the water lines pressurized, which meant air was frequently getting into the water lines, which meant not only would air sputter out when you turn on a faucet, but when you flushed a toilet,
it scared the crap out of you.
It sounded like the toilet was trying to come alive because you just go ka-chung, 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 as it was filling up the tank.
I imagine your children love that.
You know, kids are adaptable after like two times. And once you tell them what it is, they don't care anymore. But it stressed me out the entire time because all I could think about was this can't be good for the pipes. Yeah, I talked to a well guy, I talked to a plumber, and they're like, yeah, it's fine. It's just inconvenient. And if you have sediment in your lines, it's going to stir shit up. So you might, you know, see more gunk coming out of your tap than you normally would. But it's all fine if you can live with it until you want to get it fixed. But every time it would stress me out. So when we'd come out here, I'd have to like manually pressure up the tank just to minimize that water hammer for no other reason than to just try and reduce my anxiety. But so we finally got it fixed. I got a brand new pump in the well with a higher horsepower. I got new well controls that'll keep it at a constant pressure. And I got a pressure tank with a bladder in it. And I got a giant 4-inch house filter instead of the stupid little 2-inch string filter that I was using. So I got my system is now upgraded and I'm happy. And even though I had to have strangers in my house pretty much all day today, you know, in the midst of a global pandemic, that was stressing me out too. But it's done and I'm very happy with it now. Nothing has broken yet. It's been a good solid 3 hours. So I'm
the whole house very water happy filter about is it. Very nice.
Yeah, it is so huge compared to the ones I was using.
How big is it?
It's a 4-incher.
That's 4-inch diameter?
Yeah, 20-inch by 4-inch.
I'm trying to think what mine is. It's probably at least that big. The filter is $50. That's
it's pretty standard size. But yeah, we were using a little 2-inch diameter that was about 10 inches long.
Oh, yeah, no. Mine's bigger. It's 5 micron. So.
Yep, that's exactly what I have.
5 micron carbon.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the carbon.
Charcoal. Charcoal, sorry.
Yeah, it's activated carbon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Also, thank you very much for my birthday gift. looking forward to putting that together. So it was my oldest daughter. She's very excited about putting it together.
Did they both arrive?
They both did, yes.
Excellent. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much. I almost made it.
Well, you only got a couple more hours. I mean, 3 hours. Sure.
Yeah. That's about, I think, all the housekeeping I had. What are we going to do next week?
I wrote down. So here are here's three choices.
Okay.
They're Netflix. They're on Netflix. So Mute.
Okay.
The Take.
Okay.
Or Jupiter Ascending.
So Jupiter Ascending is Channing Tatum. Mute is Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
But maybe.
Or no, Alexander Skarsgård. Okay. Yep. Okay. And Take. I'm not familiar.
Idris Elba.
Ah. Mm-hmm. You picked a trio of movies with very handsome men.
I didn't realize that.
It's like the hot guy trifecta there. All different types too.
And you caught it. I didn't.
Well, yeah, it's because it's just that's all subliminal for you.
Yeah, you got me there. Although I don't really like Channing Tatum. So,
does anybody really like him?
I don't know.
Let's do Jupiter Ascending. That's I think a wacky looking movie that
I've never seen it.
I haven't either. It's been on my list for a while.
Cool. Have you never seen it? Speaking of weird, I'm watching Alias. I've gone back and started watching Alias.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, I watched the first three episodes last night.
I'm on like season four.
That's nuts. I don't know. Like, I don't know what prompted me to start watching it. I just saw it and I was like, I've always meant to watch that.
I needed something easy to watch that was episodic that was enough removed from what I thought was going to be current events, but then turned out was like mimicking current events. So it was a little ironic, but it has enough characters I like in it that I was compelled to watch it. So like I said, I'm many seasons in now. So, but it's really jarring for me. And I just forgot his name. The little newspaper dude boyfriend guy.
Oh, Bradley Cooper with really bad hair.
Yes, like I just, you know what, I don't like him. It's very difficult to watch because I don't like him, but I like everybody else. So at any rate, yeah, I'm pretty, I don't know where I'm at. But anyway, I've been enjoying that. So so Jupiter Ascending, it's on Netflix, so we'll put that for next week.
Is that your next thing next week, you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Rock on.
And then let's see, I've just finished all of the most recent Trump books, all four of them. So
but you're still undecided, right, when it comes to, you only have like 40 days left.
That's all fake news. So
yeah.
I got my ballots, I tell you that. Woo-hoo. And I got our ballots.
Sweet. Hopefully I'm getting mine too.
Let's see what else. Rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
We're so screwed. Let's see.
Yeah.
I watched
yeah, you may not remember, Jason, but you jumped on last week and we talked about it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still mourning. So mostly because, you know, they're going to try and cram through it anyway. I watched the Netflix, I think it's 4-episode series of The Challenger.
Ooh, I think I know how it ends. It's kind of depressing.
You know, it's actually a good watch. I mean, it's got some really, I mean, it's obviously really sad, but yeah, I mean, and I don't know if you guys remember, I read the Congressional Challenger report when it came out.
A lot of O-rings.
Yeah, it turns out there was a lot of things. Yeah, so it's good. It's a good watch because it has a lot of the family, and so you see a lot of the people talking. I mean, there's some good memories, but it just pissed me off mostly. It just made me mad at everybody. So that was the thing. So it's good, but you know, it's good in that, like, oh, I remember this happening kind of way, and you know. Anyway, so it's well done, I think.
But what's it called?
Challenger, the Final Flight.
I wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah. So it's on Netflix. It's only 3 or 4 episodes, I think. So it's not a huge investment. So there's that. Let's see what else is going on. Our air quality is improved. I can breathe.
Nice. Oh, I need to interrupt here, and we need to do a full retraction, an apology, a mea culpa, to the proud residents of the city, and it's its own city, of Milwaukee, Portland, or sorry, that's, I did it again, Milwaukee, Oregon, its own city, has been for decades, very proud people who live in Milwaukee, Oregon. We called it a suburb of Portland. It is not a suburb of Portland.
No, it's a suburb. I don't care. Everything's a suburb of Portland around here.
Yeah. They're very proud.
Yeah, yeah. Next thing you're going to say, Oak Grove is its own city. It's not. So, all right. Yeah. You're only big now, but enjoy it.
No, and let me tell you, if you wake up and all your tires are slashed, it's those Milwaukee guys that came to get you. The Milwaukee Mafia.
Have we talked about how I found out that people in the Valley hate anybody who lives in Eagle River?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. Explain it again, because I was trying to explain that very thing at work today.
It's because people in the Valley who commute to Anchorage, there's a huge bottleneck of traffic in Eagle River. So... They have this concept of people who live in Eagle River. Oh, you okay?
Yeah.
Of just being asshole posers who want to be able to say that they don't live in Anchorage, but don't actually want to commit to living outside of Anchorage. So all they really do is just screw up traffic in the morning for everybody.
Nobody makes them move out to the Valley and commute in. They make that choice. Get over it.
Yeah, they're okay with the choice, except for Eagle River.
Yeah, but that's the price of living in the Valley. Get over it.
I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm just saying I think it's funny that they have this perception.
I think I use the same line that Drew and I used, or Drew used from Mad Men, but also... It's the elevator Don Draper thing about how Matsu people like hate Eagle River people, and Eagle River people never think about Matsu people.
That's the thing. Horror people don't think about anybody but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the great house hunt continues.
Oh man, I wish you well on that, because that seems like a nightmare.
Well, I'm so I have a real estate agent now.
By the way, you're not welcome in Milwaukee. I'm just gonna tell you that.
I wouldn't live there anyway, because I don't want to live in a suburb of Portland. Anyway, I have a real estate agent now, and she is a self-described, I think she described herself as a pit bull, but I'm not entirely sure if that's accurate. But she's very take charge, kind of forceful lady. She was Jerry's real estate agent, so call out to Jerry for sending me her way. She also told me that the current mortgage company that I was trying to use was trying to screw me with my pants on. So, she said, yeah, they're lying to you and they're screwing you and they're going to charge you more money than you think, because they're going to add it all at the end and jack up your rate. So just stop interacting with them completely. They're going to call you and email you. Just don't even bother. Just ignore them.
Sweet.
And then she told me what to do. And so I talked to the local credit union today, because Alaska USA doesn't lend for mortgages in Oregon. So that would be a problem. Mm-hmm. If I happen to find a house in Washington, that would be okay. But I need to have all of my eventualities covered. So I found a credit union here that's licensed. A lot of them here are licensed, both Oregon and Washington. So I got pre-qualified today. There's two different things that happen. Anyway, so
have your number.
Yes, I have my number, and then I'm going to get I'll have pre-approval on Monday, she thinks. So
sweet.
So I have the pre-qualification. So and the real estate.
Is she looking hopeful?
What's that?
Does she think it looks hopeful?
The agent, the mortgage agent.
Yeah.
Oh, she said I qualified. She goes,
No. Not the mortgage broker, but your real estate agent.
Is she hopeful about what?
Is she being honest about how screwy the market is?
Yes. And so, yeah, she actually said, a lot of things, because she was evaluating where I was looking at houses. And she told me, she goes, a couple things. You have to listen to me or I'm not going to work with you, because I won't put you in a house that you're not going to be able to sell in 5 years, because it's going to be worthless. And so she said, right now, we're in the same place we were about 10 years ago when the market bubble collapsed. Interest rates are super low and people are refinancing their houses. And because they don't have jobs or incomes, they're living off of the money they've used to refinance their houses with. And in about 10, 12 months, when the market really crashes, they're not going to have any equity to do anything, and they're going to have bankruptcies. And the market's going to collapse for real estate. So the places I've been looking for houses, the prices are what I'm looking for. But she said last time the recession hit with real estate, that market dropped by 100% value. So she said, you know.
Wait, hold on. She's not good at math.
The value over. So basically the house prices get cut in about half.
Okay.
For the sale. And so she said, you don't want anything that's manufactured in a big group, because when there's a lot of houses on the market, nobody wants to live in those areas. They want to live in unique neighborhoods with unique houses, right?
Is she telling you to wait a year?
Well, she said it'd be better if I could wait a year, but she goes, we're not going to, if we find something, we find something. If we find something you like, we'll find something you like. She goes, the longer we wait, though, the better it may be eventually, but the market's also still increasing here. So it's that fine line, you know, it's like, if I wait until I absolutely have to, I might be paying even more than I have to pay now. So it's a balance. But she's found some properties that, she said, these houses aren't in places that would be hit hard if the market goes down. Like, one is in a very nice subdivision that ironically is in the walking distance of a high school and Mormon church.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh. It's a quirky house. We like it. Actually, I really like it. But I'm, again, not getting attached to it because God knows. And it would be actually a shorter commute for me to one of my offices, but double for the other. So it'll be an adjustment. It would be double for Jesse, basically. But
But you don't have to cross state lines to get there.
Yeah. And yes, and I don't have to cross bridges, which is really my concern, because relying on a bridge every day is just not something I'm looking forward to. Plus, moving into Washington means I have to change my driver's license. I have to get plates for the car. There's just so much stuff.
Pay different taxes?
Well, no, because I still pay Oregon income tax, and I'll pay additionally Washington state sales tax.
Yeah, okay.
But I found out our administration at work, through all of these telecommuting that's been happening lately, one of the controller's offices said, oh, we didn't know you had people teleworking out of the state of Oregon. If you're earning wages while you're not working physically in the state of Oregon, none of that money can be contributed to your public retirement.
Ooh.
Yikes.
So I'm like, oh, well, so maybe cross Washington off the list, because I'm telecommuting, two to three days a week. So
wow.
I don't know what they're going to do about that. I suspect they're going to have to retroactively fix it somehow, because the employees
they have a choice.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what they do there. But I think going forward, it's going to be a lot of it like, oh, yeah, no, you're not telecommuting. So we'll see. So anyway, she's got some suggestions. I'm just waiting for the bank to button everything up. And then once I have the pre-approval, then it's just a matter of getting in somewhere. So we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
It's a crazy market. And it's amazing what's on the market. It's amazing for the same price range that I can look at a house and be like, that is a gorgeous, beautiful, spotless house. And for the same price, I can see like this shithole and wonder why it's the same price. So I'm just, and a couple of them are, the neighborhood is not someplace that I would want to. It's like, no, we're not living there. But then Jesse was like, this neighborhood's full of old people. Like, well, we better cross that off the list, Mr. Really Loud Stereo. So.
Old people die and like their kids inherit their houses. Squatters and stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, that's been challenging. So I really don't know how people buy houses anymore, because for God's sakes, I have so much paperwork that's accumulating. I can't even. It's unfathomable.
Oh yeah,
I can't.
Just wait.
No,
there's more to close.
Yeah, that's what they said. She was like, "Oh, don't." She goes, "Just wait. You're gonna have to pay a forest penalty."
Yeah, well, use their pen. They'll offer you a pen. Use it. You don't want to use your own ink.
So anyway,
that's like a whole career of people who just help people sign large documents so they can buy a house.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so it was nice to get over that hurdle. I'm excited. Not really. Not excited.
No, it's good, though. It's a good place to be, though.
Yeah. I mean, if we can wait until them, I don't want to wish the market to collapse, but I think she said it's inevitable. She said it's inevitable. Doesn't matter who's in administration this fall, because the interest rates can't stay as low as they are. The economy cannot handle it. So, so we'll see. But I think the interest rate was like 3.1. So that's decent.
Yeah. Decent. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost free money.
Well, because they were offering like 2.25 in some instances. But
if you've got to buy that, right?
I would have to buy it, and I would have to have much better credit than I have. And so,
yeah.
I mean, 3.1 seems, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
that's very doable.
Dynamite.
Yeah, no, because one of my coworkers is like, I have like 5.25, and I'm like, I'm sorry for you. You should have refinanced that. What else? I think that's all I got going on.
Dad wanted me to ask you about a rat in your house. Is there a story?
A rat in my house?
Uh-huh. A suspicious noise you heard in Derek's room?
Oh, my God.
You don't have to tell it.
No, no. Okay. I can tell it. Saturday? I think it was Saturday. Anyway, it must have been Saturday. Afternoon, I was doing something with the furnace and the filters and I was turning the furnace back on to heat mode. It's been on cool mode, so I turned it back to heat cool mode, but that means I have to turn the heat on and burn all the crap that's in the burners out, because it's been sitting since March. And so that first time I know that if I'm in the house and it's burning, it makes me sick because the dust and all that crap. So I was running the fan for the blower unit, and the door to Derek's bedroom came open, which was unusual. So I went in there and I heard something skittering across the floor. So, and this is after, have you heard Mom's vole story?
Not the most recent vole story.
Well, she was relaying to me that last week at the cabin, she was sitting with her iPad watching something and looked down and there was a vole on her.
Nice. And a vole is like a little rat kind of thing.
She said she has never screamed that much ever in her life. And Dad, I guess, came running in thinking that something was murdering her, which, you know, if you're screaming that much, probably not an unreasonable assumption. No. Good for Dad for running in there. You know, he did the job he's supposed to. At any rate, so after Mom told me that story, then I'm in Derek's room hearing something skittering around. So I closed the door and I told Jesse, I'm like, you have to go in there and kill whatever that is, because I cannot handle this right now. Like, I can't. Like, I have put rat traps in the house and there's been rats in the house before. Actually, there's little mice, but like, you know what? I could handle the traps. I could handle even like this squishy, bloody mess that squirts up the wall when the trap goes askew and their heads explode, but whatever. But I can't
deal with it.
I can't deal with this crawly thing in the room.
Trigger warning.
You have to take care of it because I can't. And Jesse said, You're so much like your mother. And I'm like, shut up, just take care of it, will you? So goes in there and he's in there for a while and he comes back out and he's like, it's a pad of paper. I'm like, what do you mean it's a pad of paper? He goes, it's a pad of paper that's rattling from the air vent. I'm like, the air vent has been running the air conditioner for 4 months. So I don't understand how suddenly the notepad started. Now it makes noise when it hasn't been making noise since and we've had the fan running because of the forest fires like almost constantly. So anyway, whatever, I'm over it. And that was Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, we go to bed. We got into bed and we were bantering about and talking, and the dog is being, you know, a butthead and he's a bed hog. And so all three of us, you know, the dog and the boyfriend and I are all in bed together, and it's probably about 1:30 in the morning, Saturday night into Sunday morning. And Jesse and I are talking. We're not even asleep, right? And we hear this giant crashing noise, a significant crashing noise, not like something fell off a shelf. Like, this is a whole bunch of shit went down. And I said, good luck finding out what that is, because I am not leaving. Like, you have to go do this. Like, I can't handle this. I'm sorry. This is not going to be me, because I've seen this movie before. And so Jesse looks around the house. I hear him talking and saying something, and then he comes back to bed, and I'm like, what? And he goes, I took care of it. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, uh-huh. Okay. Right. Okay, whatever. So then I get up the next morning and I come into my office, and that's what's happened, is my office. There are three things in my office that have moved in my office, and they've all moved to the corner of my room in the office. the lamp, which is behind me, had moved to the corner. My paper shredder, which is behind me, had moved to the corner. My bin of photographs had moved to the corner. By the way, this is all the corner of the room where Derek's remains are. The lamp was also turned on. So, I don't know what any of that shit means. There's no explanation. Nothing else in the room fell over, so if the house had, like, settled and moved, shit would have moved, but no, nothing else fell off. The dog didn't do it because he was in bed with us, and so unless somebody broke into the house or a gigantic rat, we just don't know what happened. And of course, you know, Jesse was like, oh no, it was Derek, and I'm like, you know what? We're not having this conversation. Like, this is not happening.
Now, this is a twist I had not expected.
So, but then when I was telling mother, like, because it was freaking me out, she said the same goddamn thing. And I'm like, you people need to stop. I realize that there's no exact scientific explanation for this, but something clearly happened. There's not a vortex in my house. You know, and if Derek's upset, he's got better ways to fuck with me than that. So
I think they're mostly by Facebook sending you pictures of memories.
Yeah. Except Derek never used Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's what's been going on. So, and then the final thing, the final straw, which was yesterday or the day before when I actually had to leave the house because I was sitting in my office working and we have electronic keypad deadbolts now. So it's a number pad that's touch. It's a touch number pad and it randomizes the numbers. So you have to hit these random set of numbers and then it unlocks the full keypad. And then you have to put in your code and it opens the deadbolt, right?
Your typical EKPD.
Whatever. So, but the first set of numbers are always randomized and they're never the same and blah, blah, blah. So that people can't see from your wear and tear, I guess. But it's an electronic lock. So anyway, I'm sitting in my office right here doing my work. The dog is underneath my desk because that's where he lives most of the time when I'm home. And I hear the deadbolt numbers tick off. I hear the deadbolt open and the door opens. I'm home by myself. Jesse's at work. And the security storm door is still locked and closed. Which means Sweet. Nobody had access to the deadbolt. So, I don't know. I don't know if somebody's trying to drag me out of my mind. They're doing a terrific job. So, I don't know. So, maybe moving's a good idea.
That's like a Scooby-Doo episode where you find out your landlords are behind it.
It could be.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe, you know. I don't know. But yeah, it's
just, I'm going to have a serious talk with our father about setting me up to ask you about a meaning, amusing story about a rat that was in your room that, you know, when the door stays closed, all the rat does is get bigger because that's in your mind how that works. And then you find out that it was like a loose leaf notebook or something flapping in the breeze.
Yeah,
I did not know this was going to become a sad ghost story.
Well, I don't believe that's what it is. I mean, there has to be some reasons. I mean, I don't know. But I don't, you know, again.
Nope, 100% that's what it is.
Asshole. I don't know. I mean, Jesse was like, it has to be Derek. I'm like, he would fuck with me in other ways. There's other ways he knows that would piss me off. This isn't piss me off. It just was like, what the hell? So...
Look, do you know how long it took Patrick Swayze to figure out how to just move the Coke can?
The penny, come on.
Yeah, he's just doing what he can right now.
Mm. I did see today, his sister sent me a... Travis posted it, actually, a link that now his tribe is running a cannabis operation called something like Northern Lights Weed. So is your dog growling?
Yeah.
Is he asleep?
No.
Oh, well,
that's Derek.
So I had to I came out here by myself Wednesday night, so I took Bruno with me. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday night. Yeah, so I was here Wednesday night and all of Thursday by myself. And it was so quiet and dark Wednesday night. Bruno had a really long day doing nothing. So he was pretty knackered when we got here. So he kind of just like passed out on the floor while I was unloading the truck and stuff. And he was so dead asleep, and it's so quiet out here that I sat down for a while, and then I got up off the couch quickly, and he fucking just like jumped up and started like snarling and barking at nothing.
Which freaks you out?
I thought that was funny. But then he spent the rest of the night like just randomly like growling at the front door. And you know, I'm out here in the woods by myself.
That's fine.
Such a jerk.
It's fine. You know, could be worse.
Yeah, you know what's worse? Guess what video game I played while I was out here alone by myself?
What was The Rest of Us? Is that what you're playing?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, sorry.
That fucking game. It's very stressful.
That's
Eric, do you have any housekeeping?
No, not really. Yeah, I mean things are fine. I kinda hate this whole distance learning thing, but it's better than nothing, I suppose. I mean, it's a good thing the school district said, well, turns out we're not using a numbers-based system anymore, because if they still were, we would not have enough numbers. Our numbers would not be low enough to go back when they want us to go back. So I think that's a little bit alarming, but, you know, I think I hate to bring it down. After talking sad ghost stories, thanks, Dad, but, you know, I think everybody's got pandemic fatigue, which is great if the pandemic were over.
All right.
So we'll see.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on Films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on Films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson, so sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Drew. Hey.